Hello, and welcome to the Loft Gathering Podcast. Here at the Loft, our mission is reconciliation. We truly hope this podcast draws you into a new sense of belonging within the loving arms of Jesus Christ. Let's get started.
Well, good morning, church. It's been a couple, it's been a little while since I've been up here, but praise the Lord, I'm excited to be here. And it's been an emotional week, hasn't it? But you know what? God's got us in his hand. And this whole week, I was just back and forth with just the emotions of, we lost a matriarch this week. We lost a matriarch in the body of Christ on our side. But she resides with the King of Grace, man. You know that? I lost some powerful people in the last few years, two giants in the last 6 weeks, only to be upset with the Lord at times. I'm feeling I'm more alone in my faith as ever. So what am I going to do about it? You know, so I was looking at myself, you know, oh, boo-hoo. It's okay. It's okay to lament. Ladies, men, it's okay to lament. Jeremiah lived a whole life of lamenting. He did. He cried over Israel because Israel could never get it right. But today, I was just sitting back and I was just working back and forth on my message, what to say, how to say it, what to deliver, God's beautiful, precious word. And today's title is, What's Important, People? What's important to you? What's really, really important in the walk of our life? I'm having a little hesitation today. Before I start, I just want to start in prayer. Father, just thank you for your word. Just lift up our people, Lord. Lift up our pastor. She's walked in some anguish. She's walked in love. She's walked in every emotion this week, Lord. She continues to carry the throne. Carry the cross to your throne, Lord, fighting a good fight. So we're here as in one accord with her just to tell you, Lord, it's all about you. It's your kingdom, and we reside within it, Lord. Bless your word today, Father, and bless our church. Bless our people. And God's people said, amen, guys. I love you. Like I said, I'm excited to be here. Give me a couple seconds to get started. I always tell Scott every work week, I like, Scott, I'm working hard for you up here for worship time. You know? He's such an accomplished musician with Jesse and the rest of the team. I'm just, I praise the Lord as far as where they've taken me. So thank you, team. So to stay with my sermon here today, people, we need to stay grounded now more than ever. But I even catch myself staying way too grounded in the world. Two-way grounded in opinion. Two-way grounded in lateral opinion and movement around me. And, well, I fit in this slot good. And I look good here. That's not the walk of a man of God. Spurgeon says, I would sooner bring one sinner to Jesus Christ then unravel all the mysteries of the divine word. For salvation is for the one thing that we live for. It all goes back to the cross, guys. All of it. And we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about the redemptive path. We're going to talk about salvation. So, oh, Bomber, I know salvation message. Do you know the message? I know the message. But what's imparted in your heart on what has been given to us, I don't think we meditate on that enough. So let me set the groundwork here a little bit. That Old Testament father of ours, right? In the book of Exodus, right? What's the first commandment the father made to his people? Exodus 23. You shall have no other gods before me. Hey, guess what, guys? It wasn't about what we do to each other. It was about killing. It was about mayhem. It was about adultery. It was about him. It was about the Father. He started his dominion over man with one prerequisite. We need to get it right. Don't have any other gods before him. Why did he start that? The commandments to Moses there in Exodus like that? Because he's the creator of all things. He's a jealous God. We're going to look a little bit in the grounding of his Old Testament fire. And then we're going to go into the new life here where that we get to live on this side of the veil. Amen? So I was going through scripture, right? And that old prophet Isaiah, you know, God doesn't like to be taken for granted, people. And he's been trying to hammer this since the beginning of time, from Adam till today. And we continue to take the Father for granted. So Isaiah proclaims in the Lord's word, "For my name's sake," in Isaiah chapter 48, "for my name's sake, I will defer my anger. And my praise, I will restrain it from you so that I do not cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, I will do it. For how should my name be profaned?" I had to look that up in more than one translation. I was like, is there a typo here? That's like the Father, for my own sake. Do you hear me, people? He's a jealous God. Do you think the Lord, he hasn't changed from that time to today at all? It's for his own sake. Just let that resonate with you, that he will not give his glory to another. This verse, it highlights God's dedication to his own glory. Do we think about that? We're too worried about sometimes about our own glory. I feel good in Christ, I move on. I feel good here in the Lord, I move on. Dedication to his own glory and reputation, promising to refine his people rather than destroy them. He said, for my own sake, he's at wit's end with the Israelites. And us too, at times, right? So I was studying this week down in my study area, driving my poor wife up and down like I always do. I went back downstairs, and I just sat there and pondered on some of the saints of the past that have given their life to ministry, right? They've moved on, and I'm sitting here going, you know, am I worried about the next thing I'm going to have? Or just, we need to pull back and have a strategic walk in our life once in a while, is what the power of the cross is established in our life. The strategic look of what God wants for his people. And I get caught up in it, guys. Man, I do. So I was sitting there, and I had a brother, dear brother, assistant pastor, pass away 6 weeks ago, and Peggy passed. You ever, if your parents or somebody's gone home to the Lord, perhaps before you sit back and you kind of ask them a question in your mind and they answer you, you know, and you're pondering. I was sitting there, I was like, man, Peggy, what would you say is important to people? And it was like an immediate reaction in my spirit. She says, the salvation of Jesus Christ, your walk in the Lord, your salvation. I was like, man, that is so her. You know, just a second on Peggy, just 1 minute. I know we're going to honor her for the rest of this week and as we move forward. But just one thing on, you know what I love about Peggy? She was a mesmerizing listener. You know that? You ever talk to Peggy? Don't you love people that listen? She would just glaze at you, man. And you'd go on about your life. And she was such a beautiful listener. That's a beautiful quality in someone. And I can say that today. I don't think I ever told her that. She was a beautiful listener. Everyone talks about the message that they convey. How about the people that have to listen? And she was. But yeah, I could just see her with those steely eyes, you know, she had on. I said, your salvation, Jesus. And I was like, just caught up in myself a little bit there in the spirit. It's a beautiful time to put God's word together, you know? Because you have that time where you're alone, a little bit in the valley sometimes, right? God will convict you when you read his word. Put you where you need to be, right? Amen? So yeah, it was the gift of salvation. You know that gift, don't you guys? That gift that imparts you men in here to have the power to be protectors and stand against affliction and not react to everything around you because of the power of grace that's in your heart. And ladies, that no weapon will be formed against you and that attacks on your life or gossip or innuendo or slander or nothing but chaff of the sand underneath your feet. That's the power of grace of salvation is established in us. We forget that too often. I remind myself, I get caught up in social media like a knucklehead. That doesn't advance the ministry. What advances the ministry is our hearts opening up to the man or woman in front of us or the world in front of us and showing us, hey, you know what? I'm nothing but a dead man walking, broken in grace, but I walk established in the kingdomship of Jesus Christ. That's where my strength comes from. That's where your strength comes from. And too often I put my eyes on myself. I get all tired and whoopee about it. It's on me. We serve a jealous God. No eye has seen and no mind has imagined what God's prepared for those who love him. We still continue to reach for that graduation day that Sister Peggy went home to. Amen. It's a good life, guys. Gotta quit making it about ourselves all the time. As soon as you make it about yourself, you're going to get disappointed quickly. The Lord has a great life for you. And every person, he's a respecter of no person. We all have a different walk. We stay in that walk. Get out of the comparison game. It doesn't make you grow anyway, does it? But you know what? That new life came. And the penalty paid for it is what we're going to talk about here. Isaiah 53, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer. And through the Lord makes his life an offering for him. He will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. It was the Lord's will to crush him. What? Are you kidding me? Think about that for just a second. Let that resonate. It was the Father's will to crush whom? The Son? For what purpose would a father crush the Son? Let's fast forward here. Let's go to the garden together, team. Let's go through 600 years here or so. Let's go to the garden now in Gethsemane. The agony in the garden refers to the intense emotional and spiritual struggle Jesus experienced in the garden of Gethsemane on the night before his crucifixion, where he prayed to God to remove the cup of suffering while ultimately submitting to his divine will. What was the cup? The cup was the Father's wrath. Listen to this. Every sin from Adam to the rapture and everything in between, the decadence of man, the sinful, the hatefulness, the adultery, the scorning, the cursing of God, the hate, even among his people at times, right? Jesus said 70 times 7 for a reason. A broken world. The cup. Remember when Jesus was in the garden? What was he sweating? Blood. I am not discounting what they did to Jesus in the morning in the crucifixion, but I need you to understand something. The wrath of the cup was the entire... It was the goal of the mission. This is important for us to realize. Do you know Jesus? Oh, I know Jesus. He died for my sin. Oh, man. He did more than die. Because sometimes people seem to think, well, there's other men were crucified. It was a terrible, terrible thing. Let me tell you something. No man or woman ever took upon the wrath of the mankind. From eternity to eternity, the wrath of man, of his sins, and the Father had to turn his back on that and put his Son on a mission, man, that only had two outcomes, success or failure. What was the result? The success, because of the resurrection life we live today. My message today is what's important. I've lost great men and women of God in their walk. Friends that we lament on today. It's a good thing to lament. It's a good thing to cry, Pastor. It's a good thing. Heavens, no, we need to lament more in this body of Christ. From Gethsemane to the cross, Jesus endured intense spiritual agony, emotional abandonment, physical crucifixion to pay for human sin. He sweated blood under cursing, crushing pressure, faced betrayal. But understand, the night before, think of a young 33-year-old person have to hold that up. Jesus was the Son of Man. Why did he always refer to himself as the Son of Man? Because he knew his mission was to sustain that and carry the cup and the wrath of God at a later time of his life. I hope you're thinking right now, the wrath of God. He's a God of justice. God doesn't change. Somebody had to pay the penalty. Only the unblemished, scarlet white, scarlet, the Lamb of God, and not color in the visual, color in the life, unblemished. Do you realize the cup that's been spent on our behalf? My own personal sin from the day I was born to my last breath is more than I could even handle, right? A lot of us walk lives of oppression and depression, beating ourselves up because of sin and being wronged in the past or hurt. But I'm here to tell you, we can't even handle that. Right? Half the time we're like, man, I'm not doing good. What's the problem? I just got issues of the past. Have you let them go? Have you given them to Jesus? No, I mean, I'm trying. Praise the Lord. How would you like to be? Jesus took it on. Think about how much sin and depravity and decadence the king took on our behalf the night before. He didn't talk about the nails. He's like, Father, I don't know if I can handle these nails in my, what's going to happen to me. He didn't talk about getting scourged. He talked about the wrath of the Father, that somebody had to pay this penalty. So don't you dare take your salvation as, oh yeah, I'm on board and say, praise the Lord, next game. It's not a side, it's a life that was dedicated to you. His mission, the mission of Jesus Christ was dedicated to us from the day he was born till that resurrection day. was dedicated for you and you and you and you and all of you. The more I studied and the more I was down in my study area just beside myself. The wrath of God, the more I studied, but we think of the wrath of God as, you know, if with an Old Testament look, it doesn't change. The wrath of God is a real thing, and it needs to be, it's going to be encountered either through the yield of his justice or through the blood of his son. Jesus declared, "It is finished." And he proclamates Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And read that. I mean, that was the completion of his mission. It was a shout for his mission being completed. That's when the curtain tore and they shuddered, right? Could you imagine that? Could you imagine that when that curtain tore? And those priests went back in that, and they went in that temple, and they was like, oh my Lord, what did we do? They knew all. They knew Isaiah 53 word for word. They didn't. They knew God's Old Testament scripture. Man, you know, Spurgeon notes the Trinity in salvation, right? The Father planned it. The Son purchased it, and the Holy Spirit seals it. I love that. No, you know, today's lesson, I don't have a bunch of talking points. Not for today. My talking point is Jesus and a life that we need to stay focused to him. The power, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. You know, this church is not established as a religion. This church right here is established through a person. The bright morning star of Jesus Christ. That's how we're established. I didn't have you stand, but I'm going to have you stand for this scripture. Come on, church, stand with me for just a second. John 3:16. Oh, I know John 3:16. I want you to think about the wrath and the cup that Jesus sustained on our behalf. The brutal beatings and his crucifixion. But praise God, his resurrection. Praise Jesus for his resurrection. The resurrection power that all of us get to walk in. Not by our own doings. Amen. Let's repeat John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Pray that with a shout of victory, folks. You know, the death of Jesus was proof that Jesus was human. And the resurrection is proof that Jesus is God. Have a beautiful, great week ahead. Take care of each other, love each other, and give God the glory. Amen. Have a great week, church. God bless you.
Thanks for listening. You can learn more about the Loft Gathering by visiting us at loftgathering.org or joining us for worship service at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday. Till next time, be blessed.